Let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom. What a great phrase. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast. I'm going to come back to that. There's boasting. Do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Now the writer contrasts that there's two types of wisdom. But is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above. Now this is part I said, oh dear Lord, I don't want to miss this. The wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable. It's gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Bow your heart with me if you would, please. Lord, thank you for this, your word. I pray that there would be a good return on it this morning. I pray that we, Lord, that you will just protect it, that the evil one doesn't come and steal anything from us here this morning. And I pray there be somebody here today, or even many here today, perhaps, that will have a 30-fold, 60-fold, even a 100-fold return on your scriptures this morning. So thank you. Well, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Teach us your ways. Show us, Lord, things that we could never know apart from the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Many years ago, I was at a rally. It was pastors and wives were gathering together in this church. It was the host church. I was a part of the host church. It was back in the early 80s. And we had this conference. And somebody went crazy in the meeting. I mean, really crazy. And started prophesying, and it was kind of off. And they had said something about, the Lord would say to you, praise me the length of a football field, or a football game. Praise me the length of a football game. It's amazing. I love Christians when they get in fixes they don't understand. So there's some of them are saying, well, I don't even know how long that is. So I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. How long is a game, you know? And somebody else said, it kind of said, well, it's, I bind you, Satan. You know, they thought that's maybe what it was, you know. And there's other groups, sincere people say, well, we might better get started now. We're going to be here a while, you know. And they started praying until the speaker stood up, or the MC stood up. And he said, you know, brother, we're not going to receive that word because it's it brought confusion. There's no clarity here that brought confusion. We don't know what to do. So if you just don't mind sitting down, we'll carry on here. Well, we should have guessed that would be the beginning of sorrows. Because the next night, I came up to him and I said, you know, my brother, I said, I think you're in the conference because we've got lots of people from other places here. So we have you maybe not say anything in this service. Okay, just, oh, by whose authority? By yours, he says. I said, no, just the courtesy of we just ask you not to speak. Well, in the middle of the service, as it got progressed, he all of a sudden took his jacket off and whacked it against the back. It was about three times bigger than this, but he whacked that thing against the back wall, his jacket. And then he takes his shirt off and he whacks his shirt against it. And we said, where is this going? He came running down the aisle. Oh, by that time, there was an altar service going on. There was husbands and wives praying and seeking the Lord. There was a spirit of the Lord was in the place where the speaker was speaking this way, and other people were at the front, across the front like that. And then he came running down about 100 miles an hour. He's a big guy, and he's just bowling. People are just literally flying in every direction. He's hitting them from behind, and they're just like, that's like a bowling ball. You would have rolled it down there. And people got hurt, in fact, even. And then he just dedicates himself or consecrates himself or does something anyway. So he's got no shirt on. his feet are sticking out that way, and he's laying down this way, right? Right at the foot of the speaker. And the speaker did, he had turned when the guy had come, so he didn't know. And all of a sudden, he realized there's a guy laying there. Well, we managed to get a few people rounded up, and we escorted our brother, that one that was laying down, we escorted him out of the room into one of the pastor's offices. And just when we got inside the pastor's office, he shoved me, and I went flying into the room, and then he fell down in front of me and grabbed my ankles, and I'm up against the fish tank. And I said, you know, you'd miss it if you weren't in these kind of circles. So here I am. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, great leader. He's mocking, right? And I'm just running. You know, this guy's got a hold of my ankle. I don't know what do we do. And nobody knew what to do because he was. So there was about 10 people in the room, you know, praying over this guy. And I thought, you know, when I was shaving this morning, I didn't really think that I would be pinned against this fish tank with somebody worshiping me. You know, I just said, wouldn't you miss that if you didn't see stuff like that all the time, right? So we didn't know what to do. Then the evangelist came into the room, and I saw a demonstration of the scriptures like I had seldom seen. He says, I'll call the guy Alan. He says, Alan, I'm the evangelist. Oh, yeah, yeah. He said, what did you do in there? What's going on? He said, well, I'm just obeying God. No, no, you're not. He said, let me just read from Ephesians 3. And he read between wisdom from above, wisdom from below. He said, first of all, hey, man, you're half undressed. So we know that's not from above. That's from below. He said, you were violent. Therefore, we know that's from below. It's not from above because it's violent. The wisdom is from above. If you were operating in godly wisdom, you would be gentle, not violent. He said, you've got the associate pastor pinned against the wall, worshiping and mocking him. Would that be from above or from below? And all of a sudden, he just released his hands because the word of the Lord, every action that he did was contrary to Scripture. It was contrary to wisdom. It was no wisdom. It was wisdom, but it was false wisdom, and it was a humility. Everything was wrong about it, and I still remember how that night ended. It ended very badly for him, in a car crash, and he was in the hospital for months and months and months. But my point is saying that is that wisdom from above is different from wisdom from below, and if we're going to be people of in humility and wisdom, then we need to make it clear in our mind what that is about and how that is achieved. So, bring it right up to hand. I don't know how that man is doing, by the way. Someone's asked me, whatever happened to him? I said, I don't know. He's probably somewhere. But when you see those things, the power of the Word of God, he just quoted that verse, and that was all there was. Because everybody knew that what kind of wisdom it was. A couple of weeks ago, somebody chided me. Exhorted me. No, it was more like chided. And to correct me. They were going to correct me. And maybe I needed correction. Perhaps I did. But I noticed my reaction inside said more about me than it did about him. Because I found myself, my reaction, always look at your reactions. It will take you where you want, where you need to go. My reaction was defensive. I flew to my own defense immediately. Instead of saying, thank you for exhorting me here and for chiding me or correcting me, I stand corrected. You would have thought that I said, boy, thank you. That's really life-giving. I really appreciate you being honest with me like that. No, I'm defending what I did. And how I was thinking. And I think that this is, when you fly to your own defense immediately, that's always a clue that something is wrong. Something is wrong. And so there's a great need for, what if I could describe this, for humble reactions. One of the signs of people who are growing in Christ is our reactions. how we respond to things. And if that old wisdom, you know, that old stuff from the old self rears up, who are you telling me about anything? I know more than you about this subject. You know, it could have been, because that's kind of what my attitude was. Although I don't think he maybe would have known that quite as much, but that's what it was. And so my reaction was not humble. My reaction was defensive. My reaction was about what I'm feeling slighted here, right? And who is this guy to tell me anything? And as that moment ended, and I'm by myself, I'm thinking, you know, I think he's right. I think the Lord sent this person. In fact, I concluded. See, our motives and the state of our heart will nearly always be revealed by how we take correction. How you take correction will determine, in other words, attitude determines altitude all the time. That I need to have an attitude of humbleness, as you do, all of us do together, on every level, whether it's on the elders level or whether it's pastoral level or even just average person who comes in. What's really, you can tell that we're growing, and because maybe before that wouldn't even have bothered you, and all of a sudden it does. That's a good sign because you've taken correction. But our motives and the state of our heart will almost always be revealed by our reactions. I can't think of any exceptions, actually, the more I think about that. So our receiving in prayer is, you know, whenever we ask the blessings of the Lord and God blesses us, it's all right and good. It's right and good when our hearts and motives are right and pure before the Lord. Our motives must be pure. Our heart must be pure. There's something about a pure heart that's of great value. And I know people, I meet them and I'm amazed at what comes from them because they really are a pure spirit. There's something about them that is right before the Lord. You see, when spiritual pride sets in, and that is always the greatest threat that we have to guard for, and is spiritual pride. It'll come over a church. It'll come over you. It'll come over me. And we start, there's an arrogance with it. It starts well enough, you know. We say, well, we do have something to boast about. Well, that's so we say. But the reaction again, when spiritual pride sets in, we take unto ourselves the wisdom. So when God gives wisdom, we take it unto ourselves. And I'm saying, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look what we've accomplished. Look, so we're boasting about it, but it replaces, if ever so subtly, the celebration of another lives in me. See, when it goes from, it should go from, Lord, if there's anything good here, we are, at the very most, we are unprofitable servants. That should reflect. And when it doesn't, when I find myself boasting, because I can boast, I'm not talking about encourage. That's a difference. But you know, we're boasting about this, or we're boasting about that. Boasting is never a great thing, because it should go from look what I've done to another lives in me. So we give God all the praise, and something good happening here, we say, well, God be praised, because it's certainly not us. Instead of saying, oh, well, we're this, or we're not like that church. And then a superiority comes in, and elitism comes in, and there's just a group of arrogant people. And I don't want to be part of that, and I know you don't want to be part of that either. So the dreadful vice of conceit, where I'm conceited, it doesn't usually erupt full-blown in a life. You know, you're not just walking down the street and bang, all of a sudden you're conceited. It builds over time. And I think that pride seems to seep in on slowly on little cat's paws. Just that's how it comes in, ever so subtly. A ministry gets proud. A minister gets proud. A church gets proud. Individual gets proud. And so we, little by little, on little cat's paws, we claim for ourselves... we claim for ourselves what really can only be attributed to God, right? If there are changed lives going on here, then what can we say? To God be the glory. And none for ourselves. None. Lord, take your glory. Or we'll take it. If God doesn't take the glory, we'll take it. It'll happen every time. And the thing about it, nobody is aware of their pride. You know, it's not something you wake in the morning, look in the mirror. It's bad enough as it is looking in the mirror now, isn't it? Never mind looking for pride. But the other day I was looking in the mirror and said, an enemy has done this. What? So, who is that guy? What happened to him? What'd you do with Owen Scott? Who is this guy? You know, it does it. It comes in ever so carefully and slowly, and it seeps in. And pretty soon, there's a lot of that in your life, and maybe somebody else points it out. But you can always tell. I'm simply saying you can always tell things by our reactions, and how we handle it, or whether we've been to the cross, or whether we still need to go to the cross and have some of it dealt with. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. So I love the Bible for things like this. But he says, if anyone thinks he is something, you know, I always find how we react to that. Say, well, I may not be everything, but I'm something. Well, maybe not. If anybody thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So I say, Lord, show me, reveal every lie where I've deceived myself. Where I start thinking that, I'm pretty interesting. I'm pretty, not like these other people. Right? Not like those other people. And say, oh, who would ever say that? Yeah, like you wouldn't. Like I wouldn't. See, when I start thinking I'm something when I'm nothing, I cannot advance. And I will not finish well either, I'm sure. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but only that which, you know what, whatever you've received, he's talking about gifts, and whatever you've received, he said, you didn't get it. It's not because of you. If you have a gift of prophecy, if you have a gift of tongues, if you've got insights on the book of Revelation, if you've got clear teachings on this or that, you say, yeah, well, that's one of some of the stuff I teach. Well, that's good. But he said, if you don't brag about it, because it wasn't from, it was a gift. If God gives you a gift, it's from God. Whatever gifts we have, as we increase in the gifts, we want to balance that off, increasing in love, so we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. In other words, where is that humility that comes? It's a precious, precious thing when humility is exhibited. True humility, not false humility. So receiving God's wisdom, receiving God's knowledge, receiving God's holiness, receiving the power of the Holy Spirit for service in the kingdom. As far as I see it, that this leaves no room for conceit, because all of it, wisdom, knowledge, holiness, if God moves my heart into a greater depth of holiness, I can't take credit for it. Say, you know how much I've grown in holiness? Nobody wants to be around you. Because they can sense it's not the real thing, right? People can tell. And so knowledge, holiness, power of the Spirit, all of that, just no room for conceit whatsoever. And Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, it's a good passage of scripture just to mull over. But he basically, and I quoted it earlier, he says that the servant comes in and he just does his thing. He says, shouldn't he be recognized? And the writer, Luke, says, no, he won't be. He is simply, his only title is unprofitable servant, unworthy servant. So the servant didn't expect any more. He said, no, I'm not expecting more. He said, shouldn't he have been treated better? You read that, Luke 17:10. He said, no, he said, I'm at the very most, I'm just an unprofitable servant. Boy, I tell you, I think maybe that is the attitude what we should take together. That we're just going to simply say, someone say, what are you this? I'm just unworthy servant. I don't deserve any blessings I get, but I thank the Lord for them. And if God wants to use, if God wants to use you, that's a wonderful thing. And I could tell, I know something about these things. And I know that many of you, God's hand is on in a special way for some special things. And God's going to use you. But if he uses you, remember where it came from. It came from God. And you will fight spiritual pride your whole life. This is not ongoing. This is a thing that we got to guard. Is there pride coming in? Are we boastful? Are we bragging? Are we sure, too sure of ourselves? Are we kind of arrogant about it? Well, we need to, it's just ongoing right till the grave. There will be that tendency. Because why? Because the devil had the same thing. Remember, he's full of pride, and we too must constantly go to the cross regarding that. So we acknowledge to the Lord. The secret, I think, to keep your heart right and keep humble and full of God's wisdom is that we acknowledge that we hold these gifts and talents and whatever else the Lord gives us, and the Lord himself. So we hold the gifts along with the giver, and we simply recognize, we carry these things. Now picture, we carry the gifts, we carry the giver inside of us in very, very fragile vessels. Oh, so fragile. So fragile. We're just, you know, imagine all these gifts given to a human being. Imagine if somebody gives you a word of wisdom about somebody here today. There is no way you could know that apart from God or a word of knowledge. And there's no way. If you knew that, you got it from somewhere else. So how can we brag about that? We can't. We just say, whoa, he's a really fragile vessel. Yes. We carry the Lord in that vessel. Wherever he goes, but the vessel is very fragile, very prone to get off track. Exceedingly fragile vessels. So wisdom from above, getting back now, if you come back with me to James chapter 3, wisdom from above is consistently characterized by humility, true humility. Wisdom from above is consistently characterized by humility. And worldly wisdom, I don't think there's any exceptions to it, worldly wisdom is characterized every time by bitter envy and selfish ambition. Yes, that's what the scriptures are. Boasting, too. Boasting. So we boast. And the truth of the matter is we have nothing to boast about because we're simply a vessel that God's decided to put something supernatural into. So we are naturally supernatural, right? We're very, very, very natural, but also that supernatural element. It's absolutely amazing, blows me away. But we got that from the whole. You see, if we're spirit-filled people, where did we get that? We got that from God. There's nothing we can talk about, and all we can say, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. And I don't know about you, but I find it increasingly helpful simply to acknowledge that, Lord, I just humble myself in your sight. You see, if you say, don't ask God to humble you. All right, make sure you're hearing this. Don't ask God to humble you. Because when he humbles you, you won't be getting up for a long time. Why? Humble yourselves, the Bible says, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves. Don't wait for God to humble. God will humble you. Oh, yes, 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 yes. He will humble you. But you don't want that to go that route. So, you just don't. Humble yourself. And if that seems like a hard task to do, spend some more time before the Lord. Turn with me as well, if you would, to 1 John. So just say boasting is part of the package of wisdom from below. And envy and selfish ambition, all those things that get in the way. Could you ever wonder, how do even ministries get off track, right? Somebody's really sailing for the Lord, and next thing you're off, and arrogance and pride and you start thinking of yourself more importantly, and you start believing, things about you that, well, I must be a pretty wonderful person. And instead of just humbling yourself and say, God, I recognize that without you, I'm nothing. All that I have, Lord, is from you. And I give you praise for that, Father. So turn with me to 1 John. So in James, we're talking about selfish ambition and boasting. 1 John. Someone asked me the other day, I was opening my Bible, they said, how come your print is so big? So said, I don't know. I must have got the wrong one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. There we go. I think that do not love the world. By the way, the things that the world likes, God doesn't necessarily like. But verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, see, this is why we live in this, we function in this. The desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. It's from the world. Yow! And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Just abides forever. My, what a powerful thing. So worldly wisdom, I see this in my own heart. Worldly wisdom leaves me empty. Does it not you? Worldly wisdom leaves me empty. And I think it also, it leaves me prone to boast. Ever since, you see, we're carefully how we boast, right? Can't always tell you're boasting. But and so we're prone to boasting, and we're prone to caring too much about what other people think. There's the danger. You are always thinking about how others see you and perceive you. That is such a deadly trail. And when it's all said and done, you feel empty. Here I am, boasting about this or that. And I've said stuff. You know, I've caught myself boasting. And you say, what am I talking about? Why did I have to boast about that? I say, well, it's true. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. It's boasting. God hates boasting. Whether we're boasting in our talents, or we're boasting how good we are, how big we are, how strong we are, how amazing we are, God just doesn't like that. And so it destroys us. And then we start caring about what other people think. How do I look? Am I not keeping up with them? And then jealousy comes in, and conceit comes in. All these things come in. So I think this is one of the rules for Fenelon, the great spiritual individual. He said this, refuse the honor which comes from human lips. But boy, that is hard. Is that not hard? Refuse the honor which comes from human lips. So it's not wrong to, if somebody says to you, I really enjoyed that song today. It really touched my heart. Well, that's there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we don't let it be an inch further. See, every Sunday of my life, somebody says that and says, oh, that was a really good word. Well, half the time they're being polite, but I'm sometimes encouraged. As long as I run back to the Father and give that back to him, right, to keep everything in perspective. Refuse the honor which comes from human lips. People will speak, you know, wonderful words about you. And even can be said about a church. It's the same thing in our lives. So how do we do? Well, desire to be unknown. See, the world says you should try to get known. And I don't think it means, like, for example, we put a flyer in the mail to tell people about a program. I don't think that's what we're referring to here. We're simply saying is that we don't need the limelight, but to be simply esteemed as nothing. To have a humility about our responses. So esteem nothing to ourselves and to think always well and highly of others. I think if we can boast, let's boast that we know the Lord. Right? That's what he said. You're going to boast that you know the Lord. But not about anything else, because it will wreck us. It will destroy us. And we'll be proud and boastful, and it's just a terrible, terrible thing. Boasting in the flattering tongues can fill us to the brim. Right? Oh, I remember this lady came to the church here. We'd never seen her before, ever, never saw her again from this conversation. But she says, I just want you to know, this is the most wonderful church I've ever been at. Oh, You. Oh, you are anointed. And anyway, I came in the office and I said, we'll never see her again, guaranteed. I don't know why people feel they have to go crazy like that, right? Oh, the music, she never heard anything like that. And these people, it's just most wonderful. What is this, heaven? I said, you'll hate it in a while. You'll hate us. But partly, if you just listen to her, say, yes. Well, thank you. Well, I'm glad. Yes, that you've recognized the anointing. That's good. What are you talking about? It was just flattery and boasting. And if we are silly enough and stupid enough to receive it, shame on us, right? That we didn't recognize that we were filling up with the world. When people come in these doors, there's that one thing they will look for is genuineness and humility. Doesn't matter what else we do, if that is not felt and smelt, right? And we can't say, oh, look humble, somebody's coming. Yeah, get your humility shirt on there. No. It's got to be genuine. When you receive a blessing from God, give it back to him as a love gift, because that will replace boasting. Just give it back to God. If God used you, you decorated well, or you served well in some way, you encouraged well, you sang well, you preached well, you visited well, you made casseroles well. Just say, God, I'm glad I could do this. I give all the praise to you, all the glory to you. None for ourselves. And can we live like that? See, that's the question. We must, but what must we do to get to that place where we are living, to we take none of the glory, none of our lives? And when we finally, when there's an epitaph, I can remember one time I was at this pastor's conference, and the speaker was about to be introduced, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, I'd just like to introduce to you the Reverend and Dr. So-and-so, Carver Award, the Who's Who in Religious America, Who's Who in Educational America. He holds the chair of the this and this and that, and he said, he has written 23 books, and he has done this and that. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome God's great servant? What? Great servant? It can't be. It's an oxymoron. Either you're a servant, but you can't be a great, because servants are not great. We are unprofitable. And I thought we wanted to honor the guy, but after a while we're saying why do we have to put all that in? Why not just say, here's somebody that we're glad is coming, the Lord uses them, and they're going to come now to minister. See what I'm saying is that there's just a recognition that we're all the same, and that we want to stay humble before the Lord as very much as we can by God's grace. So we give it back to the Lord. Now, I think this, there's one little clause I'll put in here, that before you can live in humility and receiving the wisdom that's from above, before you do that, you have to be able to accept yourself. This is the one clause I would say here. You have to be able to accept yourselves. To show forth humility, you have to accept yourself. So we must put our false self to death and put on Christ's true self. Now, in other words, if there's no way I can stay humble and receiving wisdom from above and having humility about me if I'm wounded and broken, because I can't even bring myself to say unprofitable servant. No, I'm not an unprofitable servant. I want to be this and that, because of the insecurities of our lives and the just the pain of our lives and the brokenness of our lives. So we put to death all that has to do with self. And we put on Christ, our true self. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these though in these who once too walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off, here it is, you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Wow. And then, of course, verse 12, put on them, put on love, put on Christ. I think until you've come to a place where you can accept yourself and let the Lord heal you, I don't think you'll do well in what I've just been saying here. See, when we come to Christ, we discover our true identity. Oh, I want to, speaking of that, take your bulletin here if you have one. If not, get one. Val will laugh when she sees this. But let me just read it. One of the greatest moments in life is when you discover that God knows your name. At the very moment of your birth and even before, God knew all about you. God says to us, Mike, Mary, Owen, Carl, there is nobody else like you. You're absolutely original. You're one of a kind. Nobody knows your genes. Nobody with your past or potential experience. Nobody who will have your parents, friends, or your ministry. You are the only one, and I'm getting closer to it here. You are the only one and only one I've made, and I want to tell you who you are. You never really know your true identity till you're close to the Lord. It is possible for a person to find himself and not herself and not find God, but I do not believe that you can find God truly without finding yourself. The message of hope that we have is that God loves us and knows our noses. No, I didn't realize that. I think I gave that to her just as it was. It knows our names. But it brings a whole new thought. So now when we count noses, God knows our noses. Read Jeremiah and Genesis and Exodus and Samuel, and you will discover that each one of the people in these passages encountered God directly when they heard their own name. The psychoanalyst Erik Erikson coined the phrase identity crisis and taught that man's great quest was his own search for identity. But the child of God doesn't need psychiatry to tell him who he is. He knows his search for himself is inextricably bound up with his love relationship with the Savior, Jesus Christ. And I say amen to that, too. That's absolutely true. We put to death our narcissistic, envious self. There's no way, if you don't deal with this, there's no way when somebody seeks to correct you or chastise you, if you don't deal with this stuff, you'll react every single time. How dare you judge me? How dare you speak that way? I don't have to put up with... Whoa, what's that about? It's about somebody who hasn't put their narcissistic, envious self to death. Okay? So we face an unhealed body of Christ that has a large population of adults who are narcissistically immature. They're absorbed on all the things that they want, you know, so they're just like this. It's Leanne Payne, I think, described it very best. She talks about the bent position. We're created like this, but because of sin, we are bent like this, and we look to ourselves for our own identity instead of looking to the Lord. And I'd like to say more about that some other time, but we put off the old self, the old nature, and we put on the new self in Christ. In other words, Owen must die, or he'll be defending himself forever and trying to look good. I must die. Die to those, to that anger, that quick reaction. What is that? That comes from your flesh. And the Lord says, just put it to death. Thomas A. Kempis said this, think nothing of yourself and to think always well and highly of others. Well, you can't do that unless you've dealt with yourself. Right? Because once you know who you are in the Lord, say, Lord, I thank you. I know who I am. I'm your wonderful child that you love and you care for. And Lord, I know I'm an unprofitable servant of the very best, but how loved I am and how beautiful I am. So when somebody corrects you or somebody puts you down, you don't have to react to it. You can just say, oh, okay, that's your thought. Thank you for sharing it. But you don't have to react because you have dealt with those things. Again, judge yourselves that you not be judged. So we must first accept ourselves to be able to show forth this humility. I don't think you can do it apart from accepting yourself as someone who Jesus loves and died for. And when you know that, then you're able to show forth true humility. So there are hindrances, and I close with this, but there are three great hindrances to coming into that wholeness. And one is, as I just mentioned, the lack of self-acceptance. If you haven't come to a, so you look in the mirror and you don't hate yourself, you've dealt with stuff, you've allowed the Lord to deal with stuff. You know, we've all got stuff to deal with, right? So you let the Lord deal with that. So the second thing will hinder, so first thing is, that's the starting point, that I know who I, again, using Paul's word, die to self, put on Christ. There's just nothing better. Secondly, the failure to forgive others. This is so rich and so big and so important that I don't even know how to really stress it enough. But to forgive, starting with your parents, and or even maybe before, dealing with your ancestors and all that they did to maybe possibly wreck you up a little bit. So forgive others. That's where it's got to start. I cannot carry a whole bag of secrets around, you know, of anger and frustration because I won't forgive others. And then lastly, a failure to receive forgiveness, that I need to be forgiven. And so I receive the forgiveness of Jesus into my life. A powerful, powerful thing. But if lack of self-acceptance, failure to forgive others, and failure to receive forgiveness for your own life, it's you won't grow. You won't grow in this thing. So what can we say? We present ourselves to the Lord. Lord, I don't want to pretend that I'm humble. Are you following me in this? We don't pretend we're humble. We don't pretend that we're meek. We don't pretend that that we have wisdom or not. But I know this, and I would encourage you, when you read the Proverbs, and I'm so challenged by that. I go through it, then I forget about it for a while, then I come back to it and realize the Proverbs are, and when it talks about it, it says, listen, wisdom is what you need. And if you're going to be known in this church as a wise and humble person, that's what I'm talking about, right? If you would be known, I would like to be known for that. I think that's a worthwhile thing, to be known as a wise and humble man or a wise and humble woman. It's a beautiful thing. We say, oh, you'll want to talk to so-and-so. Why? I said, because they're very wise and they're very humble. Do you want to bring somebody to someone who has not been to the cross? They're not that wise, and they certainly aren't humble. No, I don't think so. How do we get there? We simply acknowledge our need and say, Lord, I just desire, be thou my wisdom. Right? Be thou my wisdom. Be thou my humility. How can, there's nothing, if, you know, you get close to somebody, the closer we get to each other, we should recognize these things, the humility and the humbleness of our lives. And the wisdom. You know, there are people here that if you yield to God and you spend time in his word and you understand what Proverbs is about, that wisdom that you put around your neck and you walk in it. I remember, lost his name there, head of OM. He said one time in Regina, he said, I read the Proverbs for three reasons. Number one, he said, I'm basically stupid, and it promises to make me wise. He said, I'm incredibly lustful, and it keeps me how to be pure. And there was a third one to it. But when he got to the lustful part, he lost everybody. And did he say he's lustful? Is that what he said? He said, yeah, that's why I read the book of Proverbs, because it tells you how a young man can keep his way clean. So I think the Proverbs is a very powerful thing. But listen, in your life, write in your journal tonight, by God's grace, Lord, I would be humble and wise. There are people here, there are younger people here, that you can be wise beyond your peers and wise beyond the leaders of this church. Say, really? Yes, I believe that. A young person who's serious about the Lord and who says, Lord, I humble myself before you. Deal in my heart. So there's no unforgiveness, and that I haven't got areas that I need to have you work with. And Lord, I want to be in your word. I want to be a wise person. And can you imagine if that is our desire together, that we wouldn't have to pretend? We say, how are we doing? No, you can't measure it. It's like I was thinking here to this preparation. I should have just said, of course, have you read my book, Humility and How I Obtained It? I know there was a guy they were going to give the Citizen of the Year award to for humility, and they had to take it back from him because he wanted it. They offered it to him, he wanted it. Guard your heart. I find this is a daily thing. Pride will come in, arrogance will come in, conceit will come in, and you won't even know it. You won't even know it unless you visited the cross and say, Lord, show me every lie of Satan. Where he has deceived me, or where I've deceived myself. And God, caused by your grace, that I would be wise. I'd be wise. Don't have to be. That's better than smart. That's better than intelligent. To be a wise person that people recognize. And they know about you, because they've watched you. They watched the humility. They watched just the humbleness. That you're not bragging or boasting, you care. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And then, and on your epitaph, to say, a very wise and humble person. And we would, that's everything. What more would you want than that? Fame? No, don't seek it. Everybody would know who you are? No, I don't think so. Just to be who you are. And when people meet you, they say, that's a very humble lady. Very humble. Not in a fakey way. How many know that religious people can be, your humble servant? Yeah, well, I think we know about that. So let's stand together, shall we? Your humble servant. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. These are, of course, roots to paths. If you decide today about the direction of your life of being a humble person and wise beyond your years, what I like about this church? It seems to me that it seems real, but I don't want it to just be, I'm the only one who thinks that. But we won't boast about how kind or how loving, we'll just do it. We won't boast about how many wise people we have, we'll just do it. Right? Just be that. And let others compliment you. Don't compliment yourself. Let somebody else build you up. Let somebody else brag on you. And you just remain an unprofitable servant who God is setting his glory on. He knows your name. You accept yourself. You've forgiven others. And you've been received forgiveness yourself. It's amazing. Amazing. Mark it down. Mark down the day when you ask God to make you wise. Say, Lord, not just give me wisdom, be my wisdom. Mark it down. I promise you, there will be strides in that. And people will somehow sense that you're the real thing. Because you're full of grace. Full of grace. Isn't that a great thing? Full of grace. Full of kindness. Real, genuine. You don't take yourself seriously at all. Here's the mark of it. A mark of a spiritual person is you do not take yourself seriously at all, but you take him totally serious. You laugh at yourself and you embrace Christ because it's the Lord. If there's anything good in this place, it's because of Jesus. And we must pound that home until it's just so real to us. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for your hand upon us. I thank you, Lord, for the people in my life that you've brought over the years, so wise, so grounded in grace. It makes me hungry to be like that. And Lord, I just pray that you will take me frequently to the cross, that I don't get infatuated with my own self. And I pray for everybody here, Lord. I just pray, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. And I pray, God, for a deeper humility upon us all, that you would be glorified and magnified, and that our lives would be pleasing to you. So we pray, cause us to watch out for the counterfeits. Cause us to watch out for false wisdom, wisdom that's from below. And may the fragrance of Jesus be seen in us. Lord, I pray as I start up Proverbs again, I just pray that again you will continue to make me wise from that really good book. We thank you for it. And we pray this in Jesus' strong name. We surrender ourselves to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you need prayer this morning, would you come up to this side? There's a little tight there for chairs, but I think we can accommodate it. And if you'd like to invite you to come to the patio, because the weather is still good, come and join us on the patio if you can.